Good morning. Welcome to worship this sixth Sunday of Easter. A couple of announcements before we begin our worship together. Both driveways on this side will be open for you to exit. Also, we will be collecting food pantry donations through your open window on your way out if you have those to give. This time, let us begin our worship with confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you hold together all things in heaven and on earth. In your great mercy, receive the prayers of all your children and give to all the world the spirit of your truth and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from Acts. Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, "Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you, the God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor, he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we too are his offspring. Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." The word of the Lord. Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to the disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." The Gospel of the Lord. For our children's time this morning, I want to reference our first hymn. There was a line in there for our kids and adults who were listening and reading along and paying attention. "Here I raise my Ebenezer." What in the world does that mean? Maybe you think of Ebenezer Scrooge from A Christmas Carol, or maybe you think of a fellow Lutheran church, one of our neighboring churches up on Richland Street. But the term Ebenezer is from a Hebrew word meaning stone of help. Stone of help. When God's people saw God do something wonderful, protect the people, help the people, give the people gifts, God's people would put up a stone or a rock as a thing of remembrance, so that each time they passed by it, they could see God had been with them and they could trust that God would remain with them. So what I want to invite you to do today, kids and adults alike, when you get home today, find yourself a rock, maybe in your yard or in a garden somewhere. Make sure it's one that you can take without getting in trouble. And I want to invite you to decorate that rock, perhaps paint a cross on it or a word. Paint the word Jesus or God's name. And as you do that, put it in a place, once it dries, put it in a place in your home where you can look at it and pass by it and remember, as a child of God and as a family, God is with us. God will keep us safe. God loves us. Let us pray. Oh God, we ask you to give us reminders always, especially during this strange time, of how much you love us. Remind us that you have always been with and for your people, and we can trust you with all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This week in our gospel lesson, Jesus is still in the midst of his farewell discourse with his disciples. He informs them that he is going away to the cross, to the tomb, and eventually to ascend to the Father. And he promises them that he will not leave them alone. He will not leave them orphaned. We need these reminders sometimes in life. We need this comfort and this reassurance. Today, that's what I want us to talk about, but I'm going to go about it in a little bit of a different way. I want to tell you a story. At Christ Chapel here in Columbia on the campus of our seminary, there's a small courtyard off to one side of the chapel. The courtyard is sort of a walled garden surrounded on all sides by thick gray walls of cut granite. In the middle of one of the walls, there are three little square stone blocks. They're all three a little different in color and texture, and each one is labeled. One says Calvary. One says Worms, and one says Mars Hill. Now, when I first started seminary, you have to remember that I was in the throes of summer Greek class. During that harrowing time, the seminary pastor took us out to see these stones. He explained to us that during the construction of the chapel, someone from the seminary managed to bring rock samples from three places in Christian history to incorporate them into the wall. Of course, this was during a time when you could take chunks of rock back from various religious sites in your luggage. Now you can't take a large bottle of lotion, much less a slab of rock from the Areopagus. But the choices of where these rocks came from, he explained, was quite interesting. You see, the stone from Calvary was taken from a hill outside Jerusalem where Jesus was crucified. There on that tan stone, or very close to it, the Lord of life was subjected to a brutal death. And for a time in that place, for 3 days, in fact, it seemed as if death had won. It seemed like evil and cruelty would have the last laugh. It seemed hopeless. And yet we know what happened early on that third day. Christ was raised victorious, and the church was born. The second piece of stone was taken from Worms, Germany. On that reddish stone, or very close to it, in 1521, Martin Luther prayed as he prepared for his trial before the Holy Roman Emperor. There at Worms, it seemed, the opponents of Luther had him backed into a corner. There he had to choose. Would he renounce his works, even the ones in which he sought to teach people about the love and grace of God? Or would he stand firm, facing excommunication, maybe even execution? For a time it seemed hopeless. And yet we know how his speech ended. I am bound by the scriptures I have quoted, and my conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and will not recant anything, since it is neither safe nor right to go against conscience. May God help me. Amen. There he stood. Of course, we know that he would go on to be a leading figure in the Reformation, seeking to remind people that God's love, God's grace are more than enough to save us, and that there's nothing we can do to earn God's favor. Despite Luther's justified fears of being killed, with the Spirit's help, he ended up making a stand that would change history and reform the church. The third piece of stone came from Mars Hill, overlooking Athens. Mars Hill is the English translation for the term Areopagus in our reading from Acts this morning. There on that white marble, or very close to it, Paul met with the learned people of Athens. There, even though he praised their religious nature, he sought to proclaim to them Jesus Christ, a God no longer unknown. What we don't hear this morning is how his little speech was received, and I'll give you a hint, it was not as positive as we might hope. Reading on a bit, the author of Acts tells us, when the Athenians heard of the resurrection of the dead, some scoffed. Apparently, this idea of resurrection was too strange to the Athenians. You would think, given all their lore and legends, their myths and gods and goddesses and religious customs, they would have been able to hear Paul more clearly. But resurrection was too strange. It was not logical. Just as it seemed Paul might be making inroads with the people of Athens, one of the centers of the ancient world, they began to scoff at him. It seemed hopeless. But it was not a total loss. We read on, some of them scoffed, but others said to Paul, "We will hear you again about this." At that point, Paul left them, but some of the Athenians joined him and became believers, including Dionysius the Areopagite and a woman named Damaris and others with them. Now, why were those stones built into the chapel wall? Why did my seminary professor take us out there to show us these stones during the trying days of summer Greek? Why am I telling you this now? The point is this: we all need touchstones. We all need those reminders of who and whose we are, especially in difficult times. My classmates and I were genuinely exhausted by our 7-week plunge into learning biblical Greek. Some of them had given up careers and other lives for this venture, and they were genuinely afraid that they might fail. And if they failed, what would they do then? What would they be worth to anyone then? And those stones provided that reminder for us that we needed. There in that gray granite garden, we needed to know God was at work again on or near those very stones. We needed to touch the stones, to feel the agony of Calvary, to feel the angst of Worms, to feel the dejection of Mars Hill. And then we needed to hear the stories again. We needed to hear the ending of those tales to remind ourselves God raised Jesus from the dead on that stone. God sustained Luther on that stone. God called out to Dionysius and Damaris and the others through Paul on that stone. Something tells me we need a similar reminder at this time. There's plenty to be afraid of. There's plenty to worry about. There is lots of fear, some of it justified, some of it not. We gather at this time at a distance, listening from home and sitting in our cars in this parking lot. That feels strange, as nice as it is to hear and see one another. We all face struggles at this time. Some of us have lost income or may lose income. Some of us have lost childcare or school. Some of us live in fear of illness, in fear for loved ones who are at risk. I know on my worst days, I wonder when, if ever, we will feel normal again. And we need to be reminded. We need to remember those ancient stones to know that we are not alone. We are not orphaned. God did mighty works on those very stones. The resurrection, the reformation, the spreading of the gospel to the ends of the earth. And here on or near these very bricks, this very stone, this asphalt, this concrete, here in this sacred place, God is working again. God is working still in a powerful way. So if it seems in your life that evil will have the last laugh, that death is going to be the victor, that sorrow and suffering are near, if it seems hopeless to you, be reminded God had the last words at Calvary, at Worms, at Mars Hill. God will have the last word here on our stones as well. God's word is life. The Holy Spirit, the Advocate, is busily working to lead us and guide us and is with us forever. And that promise allows us to simply abide in God and He in us. When all other stones, all other foundations in our lives seem to be washed away, it is God's faithfulness to us and our faith in God that support and sustain us. And that is indeed a firm foundation. Christ, our solid rock. Here indeed we stand. God help us. God will help us. God is helping us. Indeed, He did not leave us orphaned. The Spirit is with us still. And just as the Spirit brought life out of Jesus' death, just as the Spirit spoke through Paul to spread the gospel, just as the Spirit strengthened Luther for his time of trial, so the Spirit is working now to guide us and comfort us, to shape our future, to strengthen our faith and our witness. We have our own rocks and stones here in this place to look back on, to think back on all those times when we thought bad things had gotten the best of us. But we're still standing here this day, ourselves a living testimony to the fact that God indeed gets the last word, that love overcomes hatred, that good subdues evil, that God makes a way out of no way. So if your life is like mine and you sometimes wonder how everything is going to work out for the best when so much seems so wrong, touch the stones. Remember the times in your life that seemed hopeless, that seemed futile, and remember that God, the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, was right there with you and got you through the worst times. Be reassured this day, God has a long, holy history of taking our broken, crumbling rocks and turning them into precious stones for God's own glory. Amen.
Thy holy.
Let us confess our faith together using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Uplifted by the promised hope of healing and resurrection, we join with the people of God in all times and places in praying for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Abiding God, you have revealed yourself to us in the form of your Son, Jesus Christ. Embolden your church as your followers to reveal your love to everyone in our speaking and in our living. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You are the creator of heaven and earth. Revitalize the health of oceans, rivers, lakes, springs, glaciers, and other bodies of water that give life to your creatures. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You call all people of the world your children. Judge the nations justly, show mercy to the oppressed, and speak truth to power through your prophets. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You come near to us when we are lost, and you hear our distress. We pray for those who suffer in any way, especially those on our prayer list, those suffering during this pandemic, and all those we name now on our lips and in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Your commands are good and merciful. Give us courage to take hold of our baptismal promises to work for justice, advocate for the voiceless, and free the oppressed and imprisoned in mind, body, or spirit. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You remain with us always, O God, and your kingdom has no end. We remember the saints who have gone before us. Unite us forever in your final victory over death. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. With bold confidence in your love, Almighty God, we place all for whom we pray into your eternal care through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Take and eat. This is the body of Christ given for you. Take and drink. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. God of abundance, with this bread of life and cup of salvation, you have united us with Christ, making us one with all your people. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Christ is risen, just as he said, go in peace, share the good news. Alleluia.